In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. You may be seated.
Of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will give their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. This Bible reading is from Philippians 2:5-11. Having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who thought he was the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing has to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient in the point to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under earth, the earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God. Please stand for our holy gospel reading. Recorded in Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to question one another which of them it could be who is going to do this. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O God.
You may be seated.
Amen.
pray with me. Lord, we give you thanks for this day and especially for our time here this evening as we are once again able to really reflect on what you have truly done for us. Lord, we pray that as we have come here as well to receive your Son's body and blood in the sacrament of the altar, that while this is a mystery to us, we believe your words when you say, "This is my body and blood, shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins." Lord, I ask that you would just open our hearts to your word tonight, that you would block out a few of the distractions that might be going on in our minds so that we can focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have been going through the Lenten season with our Wednesday evening services, we've been looking at the cross, what the cross means to us, and kind of been looking at some different aspects of the cross that we normally may not think about all the time, but we've been looking at that in conjunction with what Jesus has done for us through the cross, but also looking at it from the perspective of Jeremiah in the sense of his life and what took place, and then also we have to at some point reflect on our life and see how all of this affects us as well. And so if you recall, going back to somewhat the beginning of the series, the mystery of the Father's love, I said that it is truly a mystery to us. We really can't begin to fathom and take in what our God has done for us by sending His Son, His only Son, to die for us. And so as we look at the cross and as we looked at Jeremiah, Jeremiah definitely had a direct call from the Lord. The Lord came to him and he said, "I'm sending you to a pretty harsh, obstinate people. And I'm sending you to proclaim my word to them." Now, Jeremiah had that call on his life. Jesus obviously had a call on his life. By leaving the realms of heaven and coming into a sin-filled world to proclaim the kingdom of heaven. And we as Christians, we have a call placed on our lives that we are to go out into the world and share the life-saving message of Jesus Christ with that world. And so there is a call involved with the cross. With that call, we also saw that there is a burden that has to be bore by someone. And we see in Jeremiah's case, it was certainly true for him as he went and proclaimed this life-saving message to the people, which they thought was horrible. They wanted to kill him. But yet it was extremely good news, but they didn't get it. Jesus comes into the world to proclaim that same message. What's his fate? They wanted to kill him, and ultimately did. Now, as we live our lives in this world as Christians, the Christian life has some burdens that go along with that. Fortunately, you haven't seen death yet from it, right? You're still here. But we as Christians could possibly face some extreme persecution before our time on this earth is over. And so being a Christian walking in a sin-filled world can be a burden. But it's a burden that we're willing to bear. The cause of the cross, as we looked at that, the cause of the cross is because of the burden we bear. The cause of the cross is simply the law that people cannot fulfill. The Lord laid out the Ten Commandments for the Israelites, and I made a joke about this at one point. You know, Adam and Eve were given how many laws? One? Really one. Don't eat of that tree. And they couldn't even keep that. How does God think this group of people is going to keep 10 of them? We can't, right? They couldn't. We can't. And that's the whole cause of the cross. That's the whole reason Jesus had to come into the world to bear that cross, to bear that burden was to take our sins upon himself, to take our punishment so that we wouldn't have to. And so tonight as we get to the sacrament of the altar, we get to the fruit of the cross. We get to a holy meal. And that fruit of the cross is a new covenant that Jesus made with the disciples on the night that he was handed over to be crucified. I want to read the Jeremiah passage, just or part of it, just one more time, because Jeremiah is actually extending good news and hope to the Israelite people. He says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." This new covenant was a promise and hope for the Israelite people that they were going to be brought back into a covenant relationship with God himself. Unfortunately, that covenant's going to fail too on the people's part. They're going to reject him. They're going to turn from him again. When Jesus comes onto the scene, though, as he enters that upper room on Maundy Thursday, the night that he was betrayed, as he goes to celebrate the Passover meal, which was the meal that they celebrated every year. As a reminder, if you remember, the Lord told them when they left Egypt, that night that they left, they celebrated the Passover meal. He says, I want you to do this every year. And when your children ask what it is, you are to remind them of how the Lord saved them out of the hands of the Egyptians. And so the disciples and Jesus are really, they're coming, or at least the disciples think they are, coming together to celebrate this Passover meal. But Jesus has a little bit of a surprise in store for them. I can't even imagine what they thought when for hundreds of years they had been celebrating this Passover meal. And now all of a sudden Jesus takes this bread and he breaks it and gives it to them and says, "This is my body." And he passes that cup and he says, "This is my blood. This is my blood of the new covenant shed for you for the forgiveness of sin." We talked about the sacrament of the altar, right? Can you shake your... Okay. Hopefully you got something out of it over the last few weeks. We talked about what a sacrament is and what does that mean. And I think a sacrament is a word that... How many of y'all use that word every day? Nobody? Yeah. I mean, we don't use that word much. And so it can be kind of confusing at times. What does that word mean? And so the sacrament is a sacred act. And it's really derived from a Latin word, sacramentum, which is a pledge or an oath. And I think this is very significant for us to understand, because when Jesus is giving this body and blood in this bread and wine to the disciples there at that Last Supper, this is a big deal. Because he's saying, "This is my last will and testament. This is what I am leaving you with, because I'm going to die. I'm going to go to heaven, but you're always going to have this." And I told the confirmation kids, just imagine that if you have a relative that passes away and they have a will, and it says, "John, you get the bank account. Brad, you get the car. Mr. Grant. Grant, you get the house." I mean, when that person dies, can you change that will? I mean, maybe people attempt to, but you can't change that. And that's what Jesus is saying. "This is my last will that I'm leaving with you when I'm gone, that you will have, and it is my body and blood in this bread and wine." And we don't mess with that. Because when Jesus says it, it's right, right? Yeah. But can we understand it fully? I wish someone could explain it to me. But I believe it because Jesus says it. And so when we take the Lord's Supper, when we take the sacrament of the altar, and the Bible calls it the breaking of bread, we went all over all that, all the different names that it can be used. When we take that, we're receiving something extremely special. Just to refresh everyone's memory, I might see if they can remember it too. They had it sooner than y'all did. Y'all's is way back. But there's three things in a sacrament that we look for it to be a sacrament. The first one is, does anybody remember? Jesus did what? Jesus said to do it, right? Jesus instituted it. He said, this is for everyone. The second thing is there is a visible element attached to that sacrament. So for the Lord's Supper, what's the visible element? Bread and wine. Baptism? Water. And the third thing is that has to be, for us to call it a sacrament, has to be what? What has to be attached to that physical element in the Word? Forgiveness of sin. And so when we take the Lord's Supper, we are certainly remembering what Jesus did for us on the cross. But we're doing much more. We're receiving the fruit of the cross. We're receiving a holy meal that brings the reality of the forgiveness that the cross won for us to us personally. And when we commune up here, who are we communing with? God, and who else? Everybody that's here with us, right? And so when we receive the Lord's Supper, it is a special time for us individually with God and us together as a congregation. And I told the confirmation students, we probably don't take this sometimes as serious as we ought to. I mean, we may come up here not really even thinking about it sometimes. But Jesus tells us, or Paul actually tells us in his words, that the sacrament can be taken in an unworthy manner when we don't discern the true body and blood of Christ in it. And also when we come up just, you know, not really placing our sins at the foot of the cross and leaving them there. And so the sacrament of the altar is a very important part of a Christian's life. It's extremely important because it's where we do receive that forgiveness. We receive the strengthening of our faith to help us walk through this Christian life as those burdens or the burdens that we're faced with come into our life. And so I pray this evening that as the confirmation students, those that are receiving the sacrament of the altar, the Lord's Supper for the first time, that it is a special time for them. I told them, and I made the parents aware of this, I always let them try a little bit of the wine and the wafer. They tried that yesterday, right? And I do that because it may have been the first year I was out of the seminary, I nearly had the wine spit back all over me because it was such a shock. And, I mean, yes, the Lord can shock us, right? But I don't think He wants to shock us that way. So I wanted them to be prepared for it so that they could really focus on what the sacrament means. And I pray that that's what has happened. I pray that each one of you will individually and personally know that Jesus is coming to you tonight in His body and blood. And everyone here, that we are receiving this, that He's coming to us for the forgiveness of sin and the strengthening of our faith. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank you. We stand for our prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening, and we ask that you would be with us now, that as we have come here to worship you, that you would open our hearts, and Lord, that you would continue to fill us with your Spirit here today, and that we fully understand and know that the forgiveness we have is simply because you came and died on the cross for us. Lord, in your mercy, we lift up those who are sick, those who are struggling, who face challenges each day. We have those that we name in our hearts. We lift up Robert DeLauder this evening, who had a hip replacement. We ask that you would bring healing and a quick recovery for him. And Lord, we place all of those into your care. Give them patience as they deal with their sickness, and bring healing according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we pray for those who will be traveling this Easter weekend. Lord, we ask that you would bring safety to their travels, return them safely home. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we pray now that as we prepare to come to your table, that we do discern the true body and blood of our Lord. And Lord, that we leave our sins at the foot of the cross, trusting and knowing that you fully forgive. Lord, in your mercy. We pray all of these prayers and any other petitions in the words you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated. And if the confirmation students will come forth. In holy baptism, these young people were born again as God's children and received into his church. As a further gift of his love for us, our Lord Jesus Christ has given his church the sacrament of the altar and invites his children to receive this sacrament in faith for the forgiveness of their sins. The Apostle Paul reminds us, "Let a person examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And so often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." These candidates have received instruction and have been examined by the pastor regarding their sin and their understanding of the sacrament of the altar. You are about to be admitted to the Lord's table. The Holy Scripture describes the life of the church and every baptized Christian with these words. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. You are invited by our Lord to come regularly to hear his word and receive his sacrament. You will continue to be instructed, nurtured in the Christian faith and life. You are invited to confess your sins and receive the comfort of holy absolution. All this will help you live as a child of God. You have been made through holy baptism. In testimony of this faith and confession, I now ask you, do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is your Lord?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that you are a sinner?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you and shed his blood for you on the cross for the forgiveness of all your sins?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that in the Lord's Supper he gives you his true body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sins and to strengthen your faith in him and your love toward others? Do you intend to continue to hear and receive the instruction of your Lord, confess your sins, and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully throughout your life?
Yes, I hope so.
I therefore invite you to the Lord's Supper to receive Christ's precious body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, whose Son Jesus Christ loved the young and called them to himself, we ask you to bless these young people. Strengthen them in the faith through the sacrament of Christ's body and blood so that they may grow spiritually and bring forth the fruits of faith in a life of love toward others to the praise and honor of your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We rejoice with thankful hearts in your confession of faith as you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his holy supper. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Peace be with you. Everybody.
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord strengthen and preserve and steadfast in the true faith of life everlasting, from heart and teeth, and joyfully serve the Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Jesus said, I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. I am going there to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and ask you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. At this time, Joe, if you want to extinguish the candles, we will be stripping the altar, removing everything. And it might be kind of awkward, but I might ask that at the very end, after everyone is done, if the confirmation, those who took their first communion, if we want to get a picture up here for that. So, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. And you, our fathers, trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a raving and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircle me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you may help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild ox. I will tell of your name to my brother. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness of a people yet unborn, that he has done it.